You know, it's like, I think sometimes, would you guys ever feel like sometimes you feel like you have to conjure God up? So, you guys know what I'm saying? Take this off now. Oh, we're good. Okay. Am I alone in thinking that sometimes we feel like we have to conjure God up? I'm just merely saying like, oh, since I haven't been good enough, he won't show up for me. You guys aware? Is this me or is this you? So, I'm trying to train, I guess. If I look at you with the blank faces on, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just saying like sometimes when I'm far from God, I feel like before he's going to show up, I got to go do something to get him back, right? I got penance to pay. You with me? I got to make something happen because the way I am right now is unacceptable. What I'm trying to tell you is what I've found out, that the Lord will show up in spite of anything you have to offer. And actually, the more you try to make him show up, the less he wants to show up. And that's because whenever you think you can make him show up, what does that mean? That means you are living in pride. That you are in control of God. And I get to decide if God cares for me based on if I'm good. And essentially, you guys have known that I've been preaching on pride for the past few weeks. And I keep on trying to mention as best I can, as humbly as I can, I have not chosen for myself any of these messages I preach to you. I keep saying it, and I know it sounds weird. I know it does. I'm just saying, I have other messages I'd like to give you, and I can't, I'm not even allowed. Like, once again, look, I'm empty. I got nothing. I want to have something. But here's what what keeps coming back to my mind over and over and over and over and over again is what we've read twice in these last few weeks, which is 1 Corinthians 2, which I guess I'll just read it again. I have no agenda today other than I'm going to talk. Well, here's the agenda. Here's the agenda. I'm going to preach a little bit, and then I'm going to tell you about some of the visions God has given me for this place. Then I'm going to tell you about the visions other people in our congregation have had about this place, that they've spoken to me, and then we're just going to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. That's it. Are you with me? I don't have an agenda. I didn't know this was going to happen. And I'm just trying to be as obedient as I can. I would rather just preach a simple message and go eat lunch. Are you guys with me? That's my preference. But yet, God has something for you that he wants to do. And I'm just his little obedient fool who's willing to be a fool. And he's just looking for someone who's willing to look like a fool once in a while. And then he can step in and start messing things up in a good way. So I'm going to preach for a little bit, and then I'm just going to talk about what I think is going to happen in this place today. And anybody who wants to receive from the Holy Spirit, he's going to be here today. He's promised to be here, and he will. He always confirms his word. And so in 1 Corinthians 2, this is Paul talking. We've read this many times. I'm just saying this is what the Lord's trying to do. By the way, it's a joke, but it's like almost I heard God say, Nate, the worse your message is, the more I'm going to show up. I hope so. Amen. I wish you guys would switch, like, let's switch places for a second. And I know that's horrifying for most of you. As I said, most people would rather be dead than public speak. It's just a thing, right? And what I'm saying, switch places with me. And what would you think I would have to do if I wanted to conjure God up? Preach some awesome message, right? Super wisdom and convicting and power. And the Lord kind of says, you know, the more dumb you look, actually, the more likely I'm going to show up, Nate. I'm like, all right. He's been hammering that into me. Like, humble yourself, Nate. Humble yourself, Nate. Humble. I was too proud for all my life. Too proud to receive from God. It's only been the last 2 months where I have been humbled by him. And my message to you is, you know, whether you humble yourself or God humbles you, either way, he has good in store. It's just one is less painful than the other. Are you guys with me? You humble yourself, it costs you a little bit, but it's like you gain so much. When he has to step in and humble you, he only has grace involved. He just wants to rescue you. But kind of hurts a little worse. So I'm just saying. Some of you know the testimony, and I might talk about it too. But all I'm saying is 1 Corinthians 2. I wasn't even going to go here today, really, but this is what Paul had to say. I determined not to know anything among you except for Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. This is Paul the apostle. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. That's what I want to stand up here and do. Do you see? Because I'm afraid of what you're going to think of me. You follow me? This is Paul talking the same thing. He's like, I showed up to you in weakness and in fear, and instead of trying to reveal to you that I am a great, wise man of God, I came looking like a fool with nothing in spite of it. So he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Like this is, what, you guys remember, I don't even know if, like one of the first messages I preached on this was just this idea that the Lord told me what the congregation needs is less preaching and more power. Less preaching, more power. Less knowledge, more doing. More the things. So it's like I could stand up here and preach more knowledge, but he's saying, Nate, there will be a time for that. But for now, I want the people to experience my power and the transforming power of God. The one that essentially I feel like I got born again over the summer again. Because I fell into pride. Have you guys ever done that before? I fell into pride, living in pride, and the Lord rescued me out of it again. And it feels like I'm a new person again. I've been changed. I've been humbled. It's great. So what I wanted to do is just, I don't have a ton to say today other than we have baptisms to do. We have some who have said they're coming to be baptized. They're already scheduled. This, I think, is going to be the last time we do it. I want you guys, well, not the last time we ever do baptisms. I mean, like, we have never once done baptism 2 weeks, baptism 2 weeks, baptism. And we had not agendified it. Are you guys aware of this? I made that word up, but this was not on our radar. But when the Lord does something, you just obey. I didn't know, I was preaching the first time there was going to be a baptism, and then the Lord said, Nate, it's baptism Sunday, I want you to invite people. I said, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds weird. What if no one comes and I look like a fool? What if I invite people to come get baptized and no one shows up and I just look like an idiot? He's like, yeah, that's what I want you to do. I want you to look. I want you to be willing to look like an idiot. Otherwise, I can't use you because you'll only do what's right in your own eyes. You have to do what's right in my eyes, and my ways are different than yours. So you got to have a little foolishness. And so I didn't want to, and then I... Of course, with many people, I mean, how many here have been baptized in the last? Well, I mean, a lot of people have been baptized. Did the Lord meet you there? Would you say the Lord met you there, like Isaac? Did he meet you in the water? Absolutely. Had you been baptized before? I know it. And he still met you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to create anything new. I'm just saying, the Lord will meet you there. If you humble yourself. Did it take humility to walk up? Terrifying. It's terrifying for me to be here and preach without notes. But he will show up when you're willing to go through it. And then, boom, the Holy Spirit shows up. What the Lord has said, okay, here's the next thing I wanted to preach on was, let's go to Psalms 138. Go to Psalms 138, if you have your Bible with you. Psalm 138, verse 6. This is kind of the theme verse of today. This is what he says. Psalm 138, verse 6. And I've got the New King James Version. But it says, though the Lord is on high, though he is the exalted one, right? He is all glory, all power. You are nothing before him, and yet he chose you anyway. You guys see this? Like, though he is on high, who does he like to spend time with? The humble. The lowly. It says, Yet he regards the lowly. But read this. This is one, this part we don't like. But the proud he knows from afar. He draws near to the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. Some people, like, I hear people say, I was this way too. I'm not saying I hear people, I was this way. I'm just merely saying, like, oftentimes we wonder why God is not near. And then you read his word, and what does he say typically gets in the way that keeps him at a distance? It is pride. It's pride, an unwillingness to be humble before him. And so it's shocking to me that I could sit here as a Christian and read God's word all the way through. I'm a pastor's kid. I should know better, right? I've been at every church service we've had for 32 years, you know? People here change my diapers. Like, yes. Who am I to, what? Thanks, Joe. Like, who am I to be telling the congregation, hey, watch out for pride. Watch out for it. It's coming for you. It probably already has you a little bit. Am I right? Probably has already got you a little bit. It's the part of you that doesn't want, it's the part of you that cares so much about what people think about you. And it cares so much. What I've found too is that pride typically is the most deceiving thing because we never see it in ourselves, but we see it in everyone else all the time. Do you see that? It's the most deceptive thing. It stinks when you're near it in somebody else. So I've probably stunk to you guys before. You just come in pride and it stinks. But yet you never are aware of how bad you smell because of the pride. It's so deceptive. But it's the pride that keeps you far from God. And some people are like, well, I'm not proud. What I'm trying to say is oftentimes pride is a result of trauma, just by the way. I know this doesn't sound right. But typically you build walls to protect yourself. And then you start trusting in the walls you built. And then that's how pride sets in. Because you were hurt. You were abused. You were wrong. You were betrayed. This is very common. And because of the people around you that stink, who harmed you, we try to protect ourselves. We build walls up, and then we start trusting in our own safety. And the Lord says, I can't come in unless you got to come out. Like, you built these walls to protect yourself. They've become a prison. They're jail now. And you're free to leave anytime you want. Actually, you're not, by the way. That's actually the scripture. You're not free until the Lord sets you free. That's what it is. We all start out in a prison, and the Lord comes with the key, and he opens the door and says, you're welcome to come out. And you say, no, it's safer in here than it is out there. And he's like, no, it's not. Well, this is the reality. What I'm saying is it is safer in there, but for the Lord. Because when you leave the castle and the beasts are all around, you are not strong enough to protect yourself. You know it. That's why you stay in. But the Lord is your protector. So you have to get your mind off you and onto him. Do you know that? Like, I know we say it all the time, but you have to do that. You have to get your mind off you and onto him. So he knows you, the proud he knows from afar, but he regards the lowly. That's what he says. There's no sin that keeps you away from God quite like pride. Fear and pride. Pride always produces fear, by the way. Because it's all you focus. I remember I was hearing one preacher talk about this. I thought it was pretty funny that, you know, we get a weird thing about pride. We think pride is just all about how great I am. But all honestly, how many of you think that's your problem, is how great you think you are? No. No. The problem is actually how bad you think you are. But he said that it's the issue with pride is that it's just a constant thinking about yourself. And he's like, and he used this analogy that Eeyore is probably the most proud donkey on the face of the earth. Woe is me. Nothing ever good happens to me. It's pride. It looks like humility, but it's fake. It's not humility. It's pride. Humility no longer cares about what's happening to you. You care about what's happening to the people around you. It's love. Right? That's what we've been talking about. It's love. It's mind off of you onto somebody else. And suddenly, when your mind's on other people, your problems start to melt away. But it's the pride that keeps the fear. Like, it's the fear feeds pride, if that's what makes sense. It's the food it eats. It's the food it eats. Bitterness, all those things. I wanted to read from, I'm gonna go turn over to Matthew chapter 2 now. Actually, Matthew chapter 3, excuse me, Matthew chapter 3. And in this passage is when John the Baptist comes and baptizes Jesus, okay? John the Baptist comes and baptizes Jesus. And I just want, you know, I know we're doing baptisms. I know it's been weird. Or maybe it hasn't. I don't know. It's been awesome. I'm going to talk about that in a second. I'm almost done with the preaching. Now I'm just going to talk. You're like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, well, this is what you get with no notes. I don't know. I don't know. Like Ashley was like telling me, well, yeah, sometimes you kind of meander. I'm like, I know. I got nothing to keep me on. There's no track to keep on, you know. It's like, anyway, I'm saying with Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing people in this repentance. Prepare the way for the Lord. As a baptism of repentance, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And he knew it was going to be Jesus, by the way, right? They're cousins. And the Pharisees come one day. And it's funny, you know, God is love, all of that. And here's what John has to say to the Pharisees who come. When the Pharisees, this is chapter 3, verse 7. It says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? What was the problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees? If you can, only pride. They were the most righteous people in Jerusalem. The one thing they had, though, in spite of all their church attendance and tithing and all this, what do they have? Pride. It's what God hates. It's the one thing. It's this. It's the fall of Lucifer. It's everything. It's the start of all your problems is pride. It's the sin of all. And so he's like, he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. These people thought they lacked nothing, didn't they? Because they were so righteous. What's the fruit he's talking about? It's humility. Humility. The humility. And they said, and he said, do not think to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. What they're saying is the pride was that they thought that it really didn't, like, they were saved because of Abraham was their father. And it felt like it was likened to us today, where oftentimes we feel like we're saved because we go to church. You know what I mean? Or like we do some sort of religious activity and that's what me and God are good. He's like, no, not with the pride thing though. Let's get that out. Let's walk humbly before God and he'll draw near to you. He says, don't worry about that whole Abraham being son to Abraham. Then God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And he says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I am. And he will baptize, and whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, by the way. He's humbling himself before the Lord, right? I'm not even, this, you guys think I'm so special. Wait till you see who's coming. I can't even wash his feet. That would be too much of an honor for me. You see, this is the humility before the Lord that we're supposed to walk in. I'm not even worthy to bow before you, and yet you accept me into your presence. I mean, it's like everything. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what you need. That's what you need. It's the fire. The Lord told me, and it says many places, even says in my study notes here, that the Lord is an all-consuming fire. If you draw near to them, it purifies you. In other words, fire has two purposes in Scripture, really, when it refers to the Lord. He refines the humble, and it destroys the proud. I know that's kind of maybe a little bit of a tough word. I don't know. Do you guys accept it, though? I don't know. I'm just saying he comes to refine. And he comes for the humble who are just willing to receive. And it burns things out of your life that you don't want. The chaff, the pride, the sin, the addiction. And he gives freedom. The depression, the anxiety, the stress. Just all of that just burns up in the presence of God when you come before him. It is a freeing thing. There are some people who have never once truly been freed by the Holy Spirit. That you believe, you love the Lord. It's great. I'm just saying there is this thing where he comes and he just anoints you with the Holy Spirit. And you, it's game over. You are a new person. And I'm just saying, this is it. Get rid of all this religious stuff and just come to him and be purified by the Lord. Be refined by his fire. He's coming to baptize. And that's what he's going to do today, by the way. The secret's out. I didn't choose it. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to be here late, but that's okay. It's going to be awesome, though. I don't talk like this all the time, do I? It's going to be awesome, though. Get ready. Like it's like the lamb is coming. Like the God's coming here. He told me he was. He showed me in a vision. He showed Joe in a vision. He showed Teresa in a vision. He's showing the leadership of the church. He's coming here. That's been his agenda the whole time. The whole agenda that God's had in all of these last messages, all this last time, all these baptisms, has been preparing the way for him to come. He told me at the very start when I was doing these baptisms. By the way, okay, really quick, I'm going to finish this passage. Up, then we're going to go. So Jesus came from Galilee to John to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him. And he said, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are here to be baptized by me? And Jesus came and answered him, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. We'll talk about this in a second. And then John allowed himself to baptize him. And when he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I was meditating on this passage, and the Lord was talking to me through it, and it's like, why did Jesus need to get baptized? It was a baptism of repentance. What was he repenting of? And the answer is nothing. He was sinless. So why did he do it? It was a baptism of humility. The lesser is not supposed to baptize the greater. But the Lord humbled himself to the lowest of the low. His entire life, that's all he did, by the way. That's all Jesus ever did. He never lifted himself up one time. And it only means anything to you when you understand that he... Well, I'm not going to get it. There's a whole other tangent. I'm just saying that he could have if he wanted to any time. Like, the Lord reminded me whenever, right after this, where does he go? Right after he gets filled with the Spirit. And in the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. It's going to be rough. The devil tries to get him to use his status and power as the Son of God to feed himself. And he says, no, I will not use my power for my own gain. A couple chapters later, when he returns, what does he do? He feeds 5,000 people. He never once sought anything for himself. And he says, follow me, and you will be set free. Follow me. Humble yourself as I have. I am on high, yet I associate with the lowly. Almost fell off there. We got to extend the stage. Put some concrete inside. All right. I'll stop here. I want to tell. I know. Are you guys ready to receive from the Lord? I mean, I don't have to do anything. I'm just. So here's what I'm gonna do. Yeah. Here we go. Amen. I mean, like, it's not Nate putting on a show. I came with no agenda. I didn't know what we've been doing the whole time. I told you I didn't want to do all the baptizing. I thought, what if nobody comes? And what do you, like, I felt the same fear say, here's what's going on. Take a drink. I was in prayer about this service. I didn't know we were doing baptisms this day. 2 weeks ago, after I preached, it was like Tuesday, Wednesday, after that Sunday, I was just spending time with the Lord, and I got kind of caught up in a vision of what was going to happen the next time I preached. okay? And I was pacing my basement, and I was literally caught up in this vision while I was also preaching to by myself. You guys think I'm weird or what? Okay, good. I'm literally preaching to you, and you're not there. There is just me in the basement. And the message was awesome. I was like, this is cutting them in. And the Lord's giving it to me, and I'm like, they're going to drop dead. This is it. And it was not what I'm telling you right now, by the way. I was literally doing this, and the Lord stopped me in the middle of the vision, in the middle of me preaching out loud in my basement, with you guys all there. I was caught up into this, and in that moment, I literally, the Lord took over the vision, and he told me to stop preaching and go get in the water. And that anyone who wanted to come in could be baptized in a baptism of humility. And then Lenora and Joe and Phil were over here laying their hands on as many who would come, and they were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was arrested there. And I said, well, that would be weird, wouldn't it? We don't do that here, do we? And so I was just like, Lord, you're going to have to confirm this to me if this is what you want me to do, because that makes me feel weird. And so I go talk to my dad about it on Monday night, this last Monday. I was like, I think this is what's going to happen on Sunday. I mean, I feel like we got to do it. And he's like, yeah, we got to do it. I go talk to Joe Monday night. And I go over to Joe, who, on Monday night, we had like a men's meeting here. By the way, men, you should have come. Oh, well. Shameless plug. I came up to Joe afterwards, and I said, Joe, I had this vision. I kind of told him about it. I told him what we're thinking about doing on Sunday. And I said, Joe, you were in it. You were laying hands on people, and they were being filled. They were being transformed. The Holy Spirit was healing them, and it was amazing. And he's like, would you be willing to go pray? And he looks at me and he smiles and he said, this week the Lord gave me a vision, and I was praying, I was laying my hands on people and praying that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not in control of what's happening here. Please, please. We have no agenda. I then get a text from Teresa Slankard. Where did I put my phone? It was right there. I feel so naked without it. She didn't know what we were doing today. I didn't tell her. She wasn't in the dream. She wasn't in the dream. This is what she texted me out of the blue without me telling her anything. She says, Nate, I'm covering you and Sunday's service in prayer. Don't get caught up on trying to imagine how God will move or in trying to figure out how well you can deliver. Simply stay in a posture of prayerful humility, knowing it's not about you and what about you can bring about, but what he will bring through a willing vessel. It's not by human might or power, but only by his Spirit that lives will be transformed in a moment and with the evidence of his holy power in filling them. I didn't tell her that that's what God showed me. I'm just like, I just come humbly before you. I just say, I'm not in charge of what's going to happen after this. But the question is, will we just receive from him? Please come and receive. He's here to do it. He promised he would do it. We didn't plan to do 3 baptisms in a row. We didn't plan any of this. This just happened. It's just the Lord. The Lord has had an agenda. We didn't know what it was. And now he's revealed it. And we just say, yes, Lord, we obey. We obey. And I remember some of you, you know, Isaac, you in the back, and I've seen such a huge change in you already. Jody, I've seen such a huge change in you. Soren, it's been game over, man. Have you guys noticed a change in him? We have. Yeah, we have. Why? The Holy Spirit met him in the water. That's period. My own son, Daniel, on the way home, I baptized him 2 weeks ago. Isn't that such a blessing? I baptized him. He's driving home with his wife. His wife. Not yet. He's driving home with my wife. His mom. We have 2 cars. he's driving home after that baptism on Sunday, and he says, "Mom, I don't know what it is. I just feel so happy. The Lord is, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming." And so I don't feel the need to stir him up or to stir you up. I'm just saying what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Phil and Joe and Lenora to come up. We're going to start those who are going to be baptized, who have already said they're going to come be baptized, come up. But everybody who wants to come in, please do. Please do. If you're too afraid to get in the water, at least come up and receive prayer. At least. But I'm telling you, there's going to be something about getting in the water that will change your life. It's not Nate talking about it. You know, it's like Isaac said in the back. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say, just really quick. I'm also not asking you to do anything I haven't been willing to do. For some of you may remember this, that 3-4 years ago, I got baptized again. I didn't know what was going on then. I felt the Lord tell me to go get baptized again. And I had all of the same thoughts that you have about why I shouldn't and why I don't need to. And I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't, months, couldn't shake it. And you know what he was saying to me? He said, "Nate, the only reason you won't go in is because of your pride." And I said, "I know." But you have to just bear with me too. Have some empathy. I was the youth pastor. What's the youth pastor doing getting in baptized? Is he not even saved yet? Who's been teaching the kids? They let anybody in here. Who's been? And I had to deal with that. And I just finally, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll stop doing it. I'll stop fighting. I'll just come in. Period. And I'll just tear the walls down. All the wisdom and the rationality and the fears and the self-consciousness and the pride, I'll just, like, I give it to you, Lord. I'm just done fighting." Because he's coming in to restore to you stuff the enemy has stolen from you. He's coming in to transform hearts and minds today. He is. You don't need another sermon. You just need to be transformed by the power of God. That's it. Without his touch, it doesn't matter. Without knowing him, it doesn't matter. So let's do it. Let's do it. Mike, you can go ahead. If you're not coming up, that's fine. Just worship the Lord where you're at. But we're going to come up, and what I want to start with, just by the way, I would like all the people who have been baptized in the last few weeks, I would like you to come up first. And I would like Phil and Joe and Lenora to meet you up here at the stage and lay hands on you, that you might receive the Holy Spirit. And anyone else who wants to come, please come, and I will hop in the water with anybody who would like to be baptized before they get prayed for.